Welcome to The Truth in This Art, your source for conversations at the intersection of arts, culture, and community. I am your host, Rob Lee. Thank you for sharing, subscribing, and tuning in as always. It's really important for us to get these stories out there the way that they need to be heard. So, you know, we're a podcast that likes to have folks come on and share their story, really get into sort of the thinking and the nitty-gritty of how they do what they do. So today, I am thrilled to introduce my next guest, a Nigeria-born, Baltimore-based visionary behind Yele, which blends Afrofuturism and modern fashion to celebrate African heritage. My guest has been recognized by Essence and Yahoo News and featured in Visa's She's Next 23. Yele is refining luxury fashion. Please welcome Abisola Oladinde. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you so very much, Ralph. I appreciate you.
Thank you for coming on. It's good to see. You know, it's about energy, right? We already started with the good energy. We were, you know, ha-haing and kiki-ing before I hit the button. Uh-huh. So it's a good way to go into it. You know, like, you'll have some folks who do an interview, right? Mm-hmm. And it's no depth to it. It's just a bunch of compliments, but nothing that really gets to it. Mm. And I like to kind of, you know, connect with the person. Yeah, you'll hear it all the time.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it makes me comfortable. I'm like, okay, I can share.
Yeah, because I'm tricking y'all to get all the juicy details. Who's messy? Who's behind the scenes? So before we get into those said messy details and all of the thinking I want to invite you to introduce yourself. And the reason I say that, I think there's a lot of power in how we present ourselves to potentially a new audience that often goes beyond sort of the bio, the press clippings, and the artist statement. But in your own words, could you introduce yourself?
In my own words, yes. I am Abisola Omoyele Oladende. And I am a Nigerian fashion designer based in Baltimore. I am married with no kids yet, but that's enough of my personal story. Let's go back to my business story.
I like it. You know, and that's the thing, like, when you do the intro, like, I know when I interviewed someone a while back and I'm going over all the details. They've done press for this and that. And they're like, all right, number one, I'm a parent. You know, number two, I'm a human. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah. So it's like, I got the sort of online thing and I like to get the real one from the person. Being like, look, as I said before we got started, you know, somebody might introduce me as a podcast. I'm like, I'm the dude that wears the 4-inch inseam shorts. Mm-hmm. No one is out there that the
I'll introduce you as that next time.
That's Ashy Lag Rob right there. The big Ash. So in that vein, could you give us a glimpse into your journey? You touched on, you know, fashion design, you touched on sort of your background, but in doing some of the research, you touched on very, you know, speciously, you know, in doing some of the research, it's not just, hey, you know, one day I started like, yeah, I'm gonna look at this fabric, I'm gonna make this, this is what I'm doing, here's some textiles. Give us a glimpse into your journey. Where's the sort of early inspirations? Where's those like initial moments and even some of the pivotal moments along the way to where we're at now? Give us sort of the story, if you will.
You know, I wish it was like, I look at fabric and boom. I wish that was how it was, but it's not like that. So at like a very early stage, my grandmom and my auntie were both like fashion designers. But I had absolutely no interest. I wanted to be a doctor. So it was like, okay, I was seeing all these things happening around me and people were telling me story of how my grandma is such a phenomenal fashion designer. I'm like, okay, good for her. I still want to be a doctor. And it's like, okay, you're such a great science student and that's all you want to do. And that's all I wanted to do. I was very good with sciences. Like, I didn't think that I would have anything to do with art. In fact, I was a snob. Just that bad. I was such a snob. So, like, because of all of that, like, my journey to fashion was like, I was going like this and boom. It was complete turnaround. And what happened was, I was, from a young age, I had my own, like, sense of style that I liked, that I wasn't seen everywhere. So because of that, I turned to, like, custom design. So I went to like our tailor to get my designs made. And I was like, okay, I want it like this and I want it like this. Mind you, I was a teenager. And then she was like, I'm so tired of you. Like, you know, you're always complaining. You like, okay, just come to my tailor shop and just learn how to use the sewing machine. That's all you're going to learn. Like, just know how easy it is. And you maybe you'll stop complaining the way you complain. So I did. I was like, challenge accepted. I'm going to do this. And then I went and I saw it was not easy at all. But I tried my best. I learned how to use the sewing machine. Like, that was, like, all I learned from her. Like, how to just use the sewing machine. And the sewing machine are the difficult ones. Like, the OG sewing machines. Not this, this singer that I'm using now. I say OG singers. The ones that after you finish is like a workout. You just finish working out using the sewing machine. So that was all I learned from her. Then after that, I went to college, studied microbiology. And while I was in college, I was still like going in and out, like just using the sewing machine a couple of times. Cause I learned that in one time ago. Let me just look at it again. And then after college, my dad bought me my first sewing machine at 21. And I was like, oh, that's like a nod from my dad that I could go into this thing that I like though, even though I want to be a doctor, but it's fine. And then before I knew it, I started making little pieces for myself. And then people saw it and they liked it. And I was like, okay, I can make it for you too, if you're nice to me. And then I made it for a couple of people. And before I knew it, I was like, okay, now I'm going to start charging money for this. Okay. And then here I am. It was a lot of YouTube videos, a lot of self-practice, a lot of just looking here and there, learning from this person for like, you know, a few minutes here and there. And before, like, I just practiced and grew and grew and grew. And here I am. Yeah. I hope you enjoyed my story. Thank you.
This is the end of my TED Talk. No. Yep. I dig it. When you have that sort of early moment where you're like, I don't know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this microbiology. I'm going to do the science real quick.
Yeah.
You know, there's a, like, I watch sci-fi, watch like action movies, and I watch comic book movies, and they talk about comic book movies sort of like, you know, variants and alternatives. There is a version out there of you that is, you know, sewing your own lab coats. You know, there's a version out there. This isn't fashionable enough. Let me fix it. This doesn't fit my frame.
I know, right? The multiverse, there's like another multiverse out there with me being a doctor somewhere out there.
Yes, there's a multiverse.
Inflection point didn't happen.
There's a multiverse out there with me with properly moisturized legs. It's great.
And it wearing works. Pants, long pants.
Wearing extra long pants, the ones that actually are going over my feet. So with it, you made that shift from, you know, sort of, you have this background that's in science. And they talk about, you know, folks having sort of both sides of their brain operating. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have a business background. I have a business degree in marketing, entrepreneurship, and all of that stuff. And it serves me in what I'm doing here is from a, like, strategic standpoint. Like, I can be on schedule. I know how to read a spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. I know how to plan something. So talk a little bit about if there are any moments where sort of your educational background kind of converges with the background from YouTube, you and sort of the getting the reps in and the trial and the work within, you know, fashion.
Oh, of course. Like, there are times when, like, I understand shapes more than a lot of people. Let's just put it that way. Like, the geometry of it and the angles of it. And I am so very good with math. Oh, God. And with fashion design, that's what many people don't know. With fashion design, it's either you know how to calculate math or you have a calculator by your side. One of the two. And I'm very good with calculating. I'm like, okay, divided by 4, that's it. Something points this, that's it. Like, I think that is like a point where both of them come together. And I'm like, okay, I'm good with shapes. I know how to make some kind of shape stand. And I know how to calculate the circumference to make it, you know, cover a particular width or whatever. So it's like the geometry, the mathematical of it sort of like come in to play with my fashion design side. Yeah, and I'm always looking for that innovative edge, like, you know, the material that is made from this organism instead of made from this animal to create more sustainable and ethical fabrics. So, like, those kind of knowledge of, like, microorganisms versus animals sort of, like, also play into points when I'm sourcing for fabrics, for example. So it's all those little things that, you know, come into play. But besides that, I'm a fashion designer now.
And that's the thing, like it's owning it and it's putting it on. I was talking with you know, a peer in a community maybe last week, and I was mentioning I was interviewing you, and he was like, "She's crushing it." He's like, "That's gonna be a good interview." I was like, "I know it is." I was like,
"Tell me the person name now."
I'll tell you off mic. I'll tell you off mic.
Okay.
but yeah, it's like people see what you're doing. People see you out there. And
Means a lot to me because I'm out here feeling like I'm just bumping against walls. But yeah, thank you.
You're crushing it. And, you know, I saw the press out there. yeah. So, and this is sort of like the last, like, you know, kind of introductory oriented question I want to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have those moments that really stick out, you know, and you mentioned sort of like having it around and, you know, sort of that family input, like your dad getting you the machine and your auntie, and you said your grandmother, your mom.
My grandmother and my auntie, both of them
having that background. It's just like, it's around. And then you have your own interest in fashion. Like, look, I want this to fit me in a certain way. So make it so. Mm-hmm. Talk about like that moment, maybe it's something more recent that you were like, this is for me.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be what I'm doing. And I asked that because as we were touching on, you know, it can be, you know, you're grinding. You feel like you're bumping into stuff. I do this. I'm 700 plus interviews in. I don't know if people are listening sometimes. Yeah. And I'm just like doing it because I'm interested and doing it because I think it has value. But, you know, I made this decision that doing podcasting, doing this form of media, this form of storytelling was something that was going to be a big part of my life. And that was important to me. When did you have that moment that fashion was going to be, this is going to be what I'm doing?
When did I have that moment? My Spider-Man moment. This is a very good question. For me, I feel like it's just little things that added up to make it be like my moment. But I remember, I think I remember a defining moment. And it was when I got to the United States. So I was doing fashion back in Nigeria, but like the end point was to still like just do it for the meantime until I finish my master's, because I have a master's in bioinformatics now. Just putting that out there. So I was like, I finished my master's and I become like a full-time professor, a tenure professor somewhere. That was the plan. That was like my plan. So I was just like, I'm just doing this for the meantime to keep myself busy because I don't want to be idle and all of that. But then I got to the United States, and then one day out of the blue, someone just sent me a message. She was like, my fashion designer canceled on me. Can you fill in for me real quick? I have a photo shoot. I'm coming all the way from Philly. I'm coming to Baltimore. Can you like... And I was like, okay, like I do have some pieces that I could like I could throw on the model, and I did that. And then the next day, it was a 2-day shoot. The next day there was another shoot and they were asking me if I had more pieces. I stayed up all night to make new pieces for the shoot for the next day. And then when I got the shoot was at Graffiti Alley, like at the back of the building that I'm in right now. And then I got to the Graffiti Alley and then I dressed these models and everybody kept stopping them like, who made these dresses for you? Who made these dresses for you? And then to make like the icing on the cake, there's this photographer. He's a legendary photographer to me. Jazzy Studios, Jeffrey Butler. He's also in the model house and his studio was facing the alley. So he saw my pieces and he rushed down to ask the models who was the designer that made the pieces. And they were like, that's art. And I was like, why are they pointing to me? And then he came up to me and I was like, oh my goodness, I love your pieces. I think it will be great for like a photo shoot in my studio and all of that. And I think that was the defining moment for me. Like that was, I was like, I love this thing so much that I stayed up all night to make new pieces for this shoot. And everybody was in love with it. I think that was the moment where I was like, okay, yes, I'm doing fashion. For real. Not for fake. I'm doing for real.
That's really, really good. And
yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Like getting that sort of, you know, that gratification is like it is the icing, it's the cherry or whatever it is on top of the sweetness.
Yeah.
But the sweetness is still being able to do it. And I think recognizing that, you know, like sometimes this feels like work, you know what I mean? But those moments when you're able to say, damn, that was a really cool conversation. Or, wow, I really stretched the boundaries of what I know how to do technically. And I'm really like, I'm getting these shapes right. You know, I'm figuring So, you know, and this is where this sort of segue comes in, because I think it's a really good point to do the segue. You were talking about sort of like putting that work in for that 2-day shoot or what have you. Give us the rundown, because clothes just don't happen. Fashion just doesn't happen. So let's say something that you're working on coming up. Give us a rundown of what the process looks like of, hey, I know I want to do these looks, or I want to explore these fashions or this material or these colors. Talk about that process for you in making.
Okay, so let me see. For, let's say last year's collection, for example. So the first thing that comes to my mind is, what story am I trying to tell with this collection? And the story I was trying to tell was the power of love. It was a love collection. It was centered around love. Love for myself, love for others, love for God. So it was like, that was the theme in my brain. So after knowing that was the theme, I was like, okay, so what patterns and what symbols and what fabrics am I going to put together to tell this story? Now I moved on to the fabrics. And then I was like, what symbols am I going to put on these fabrics to tell this story? So I did a lot of research and I landed on two symbols, the power of love symbol and God's protection symbol. So I put those two symbols on the fabrics. What colors do I want to put? You know, I pick the colors that I want in it. Okay, these are the colors. These are the symbols. Now let's go to the pieces themselves. What stories are these pieces telling? And then I have the give me my space piece. That one is like, I love myself. So give me my space. Let me be my own person. Let me be self-empowered and all of that. And then I have the pieces of the male and female, like the kimono piece. The is right here.
I'm looking at it. Yeah.
So the male and female version, the kimono pieces. I had the wedding dress and the groom's dress. So it was like the entire story was from self-love to loving others, to the love of God, and then a relationship between one person and the other person. So that was like the entire story of that collection. So each piece, the symbols, the colors, everything was telling that power of love story. Yeah. And I believe that like that's what goes on through my mind from beginning to the end. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're... And I would imagine, you know, in developing pieces, as you were touching on, you know, like there's sort of the thinking that goes into the research and sort of all of this preparation, even before the cutting and the sewing and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So talk about that component of it as well, where, you know, I'm not doing all this by myself. You know, like most of this is me, but, you know, I have an assistant and, you know, the editor is doing some of the cutting, but I just went that direction. So talk about sort of that role. I mean, do you have 8 hands? Do you have extra arms? Because it's a lot of work.
Mm-mm, I wish I did. So last year, starting from the beginning of last year, I got 2 part-time employees. You can hear their noises in the background, even though I'm like, shh, shh, shh. I'm in an interview right now. But I have 2 employees like right here in the room with me. Do you want to say hi? No, they don't. So this is my assistant designer. This is Tishon. She's phenomenal. Phenomenal. She holds the ground like down when I'm not around. So like, yeah. So that's Tishon. She was my intern like 2 years ago. So she was my intern 2 years ago. She was from BCCC, and then she actually registered to intern with me. And then after a year of internship, she was phenomenal. And I was like, okay, I gotta hire you. I can let you go. So now she's my assistant designer. And then I also have my seamstress, who is not going to say hi. So I have my seamstress, that's Shakila. So I have these two people that have been helping me since like last year. Shakila joined us later in the year, but Tishon has been with me from the beginning of the year. So those are the people that help me to make these dreams come true. They're my hands, my ears, and I'm not doing it alone. I have my dream team, and we'll continually expand and, you know, all of that. So let's see. With the design concepts, yes, we brainstorm. I and Tishon brainstorm all the time. Like, okay, should I do this one here? Should I do that one here? She's like, you know, it will be like that. I'm like, you're a genius. So we do a lot of brainstorming in the room, like back and forth. Like, this thing is not really, like with the wedding dress, for example, which was like 3 or 4 people brainstorming on the wedding dress. Yeah. It was like, okay, we like, we made this. Should we make it a butterfly? Should we make it this, that? And someone just touched it funny or touched it wrong. We were like, that's it. Hold it like that. Hold it like that.
We got to capture that. We got to get that. That's a shaky
one. Exactly. So a lot of brainstorming. Everybody's voice is heard. Like, if you're in this room, your voice must be heard. I'm going to ask you something because it's a way for me to grow, for you to grow, for us to all grow together. So that's how I agree.
Mm-hmm. Collaboration is so important with it.
Yes, it is. It is.
You know, when I do this and I go through it, I'm like, yo, does this sound like trash? Should I ask different questions? Mm-hmm. And, you know, just really wanting that feedback and mm-hmm. knowing that ultimately I'm doing the sort of sign off of it. I still have to ask the questions. I'm still responsible for it, but mm-hmm. sort of getting that feedback from folks and asking for it. And a lot of times we don't get it. So to your point of mm-hmm. having a strong team, a dream team, if you will, around you that you trust. And it's like, hey, this is a good idea. Let's go with it. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That's riches right there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially, you know, when what you're producing, what you're making isn't just clothes. They're, you know, stories of culture, empowerment, and art. Mm-hmm. You put a lot of meaning into your work and intentionality. Mm-hmm. So, you know, speak on like, you know, that importance of having a story in what someone is wearing, like why that is important.
I think like everybody wears clothes. That's the first thing. Like everybody wears clothes. Some wear shorts, but everybody wears clothes in one form or way or the other. And I feel like what you wear is like an expression of yourself. Not just an expression of yourself. Sometimes it's just an expression of your day. Sometimes just an expression of your mood. You know, sometimes you're like, oh, I don't feel like doing much today. I'm just going to throw on a tee and, you know, whatever, and just go out. Like, it's an expression of how you feel. And the same way from what you are, like, is from inside that you're bringing it outside, is the same way sometimes from outside it seeps inside. There's sometimes that you wear some pieces and you feel so freaking good. You're like, nobody can talk to me. Like, nobody can tell me anything today. I look good. Like, nobody can spoil my mood, nobody can ruin my day, nothing. Everything's going to fly off me just because I'm wearing this piece. So yeah. I feel like, yes, definitely clothes are a way to empower yourself, to give yourself confidence, to look good, to feel good, to gift yourself, to encourage yourself. I don't know if you're getting me. Are you getting me?
I'm absolutely getting you. Like, I'll put it this way. When, mm-hmm. like today, uh-huh. you know, I've dropped some weight and I'm able to fit into some of my old fits, so what have yeah. you. And mm-hmm. I had like this pretentious cardigan on I could not fit for the longest time. And I'm wearing it. My boss is like, that's a dope cardigan. I was like, I know this whole thing. And I said it just like that. It's like the second time I've ever worn it. And it sat there for a while. Or even when I'm doing something like bouncing around out there in the community, I used to joke that I wear Carhartt all the time because I'm always working. And lastly, you know, it's a certain mood it goes along with. And lastly, I'll say, My partner, she mentioned, she was like, yo, you're dressed like you're always down to do business. Like, what do you mean? She's like, not like in a pretentious, you're wearing like a tuxedo when you shouldn't be wearing a tuxedo. More so like you could be coming from the gym to a podcast to work. You just had to wear the same fit. And it looks like it fits in each one of these things.
That's
utilitarian.
Dope.
And I was like, I'm always in the move, so it makes sense. Mm-hmm. That's how I'm able to get so much done. It's like my fit is productive. Mm-hmm. I feel productive when I'm wearing it. So I definitely pick up what you're laying down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I love that. That's exactly how it feels. It's like, okay, what am I wearing today? What does it mean? And how can I feel what it's meaning? And just like, let's both of us just have a collaboration. Let me and my outfit have a collaboration together. Let me give what the outfit is giving.
Yes. So I got to say, and I touched on this before we got into the, you know, conversation in earnest, but, you know, I loved your looks at Project Artscape at the end of last year, you know.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Your work was one, if not, the highlight of the show, honestly.
Oh, like, thank like you I so said, much. Was... Now, the next thing is for you, Rob, to come visit my studio so I can make you something that is one of a kind, too. But let's continue the interview. Yeah.
Absolutely. We're good, me with a good time now. I hope you got enough fabric because there's a lot here. So I'm curious though, like, could you describe like the feeling, like put us in your head as to, you know, you're about to have some looks go out there and it may be the first time that they're being seen by an audience. And it's mm-hmm. like, I know I'm sweating bullets when I'm like, yeah, I got to get on stage. I got to present my work to people. It's like a book report. You're like, oh
yeah.
I didn't read that chapter. Mm-hmm. So tell me about the feeling when you're having some work that's going to be seen, like the work that you put this meaning in, this effort, these long hours, and folks are seeing. Talk about that.
It's like I'm nervous. I'm not scared. It's not fear. It's just nerves. I'm very nervous. I'm very anxious. I am hopeful at the same time. I'm hopeful that the story that I'm telling is being seen, that people see the story, see the way it is transitioning. They see the transitions. That is one thing too. Like when I make pieces, some of them transform and I hope that they see the transformation and they appreciate the effort that is put into it. And then at the end of it, I'm just joyful, grateful that it has happened, it's over, it's fine. I'm all right. Nobody tripped off the stage, you know.
It's like, they look good. They look good when it's done.
Yeah. And it was received well. So at the end, it's just from nervousness all the way down to just gratefulness. That's usually like the entire thing. That's how it be. It's like a curve. It's just like, mm-hmm. and then it comes back down. So that's the mix of feelings that happen. But I'm grateful and relieved at the end. Yeah.
And then speaking with feelings, like obviously I think, you know, I'm getting it from this and folks are getting it as they listen to this, you know, having a good sense of humor, being able to laugh, I would imagine mm-hmm. is really helpful when you're making something. Like it's a lot of effort. It's long hours, I'd imagine. And like I said, I wear Carhartt and dusty like leggings sometimes. we out here. But when someone is making something that's bespoke, when someone's making something that has meaning, there's a gamut of feelings. And mm-hmm. all of them can't be the serious ones. All of them can't be that you got to be a little goofy sometimes. You got to be able to laugh sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm an introvert. I was still saying today that I'm an introvert, but I know how to entertain myself.
Yeah.
Like if I'm by myself, it's just like me and someone, oh my goodness. I am very, very, very interesting. I'm an interesting person, but I'm a quiet person. So sometimes when I'm working, I talk to my sewing machine. I'm like, come on, behave the way you're supposed to behave. Why do you like this? Be a good girl. Good girl for party. Sometimes I do talk to my same machine. Sometimes, you know, we just have a good laugh here. Like I and Tisha and Shakira just have a good laugh. Something crazy happens to the same machine or something crazy just happens that we have a good laugh. And sometimes it's just music. We don't listen to music often, but sometimes when we do, just, you know, to move body, let us feel good.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we just record ourselves.
Well, and that's the thing. Like there are times when, and I'm sure because like I said, having an editor, having someone to chop this stuff up, because sometimes the record button is on mm-hmm. and I'm talking to the recording of me before the interview. I'm like, yo, Rob, why are you doing it this way? And I'm like, yo, this is wild. It's like I want my editor almost one time just to send me back a second file of all of my outtakes of me mm-hmm. talking to my equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And just put it out there. It's like, yeah, I'm just talking to another artist, me. That's the thinking. That's the thinking there.
My goodness. No, but, like, you've told me your secret now. I'm keeping it.
Someone's gonna be listening to you very intently. So at minute 51, you said this. Are you talking to the guest or yourself? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. All right. So I got like sort of two more real questions before we get into these rapid fire questions. Now, I touched on it a bit earlier. Everyone has their go-to style. Mine is that utilitarian. I'm being productive. And, you know, we have a fit, whether it's or a sense of style, whether it's running an errand or a night out. How would you describe your personal style and perhaps how that personal style like blends into like and spills into your designs?
Oh, my personal style is just bougie. I can't help it. It's just bougie. Like, I dress up sometimes and be like, are you going to work? I say, yeah, I'm going to work.
That's great.
My personal style. I love feeling good. I love looking good. And so I love making other people feel and look good. So I'll say it's like, it's Afro luxury. It is giving business casual. It's giving formal. It's giving red carpet. So so like it just sips in. It's like you it's heavy, you know, it's heavy, it has weight, like that's the vibe, you know. It's giving one of a kind. It's giving, I walk into a room, everybody look at me. That's how it is. Like that is how I always, like, even when I dress down, it's still looking dressed up. I don't even try so hard. I'm like, I'm not really trying.
Like, I'm not this.
I dressed up one time and then someone was like, oh wow, you look so good, is this new? I'm like, no, this whole thing is 2021. I mean, 2021, but you know, it's good. I'll take it. So, so like that is it. It's like Afro luxury. It's bougie. I love bougie Afro luxury. It's like, make me feel good, let me look good. Let everybody know that I look good. Let everyone know that I stepped into this place. Without me talking, let me start conversations with what I wear. Like, I don't really say much. I just get in and everybody's like, oh, I love that, Una. And then the whole conversation starts. Like, that is it. That's yelly. Period. Yeah.
Love it. I love it. It's in there. And I've gotten that with like accessories. Like I said, you know, you've seen me. So it's just like, I take up a fair amount of space. I'm like, yo, how can I blend in? But when I make those instances of, look, I'm showing out right now. I remember, you know, I had this, it was this New Year's, and I still look at it, it was this New Year's Eve party. Mm-hmm. And I wore like a burgundy suit, which is one of my go-tos. It's burgundy with like, I think it was like a satin shirt. I was on one. Mm. It's burgundy with the pinstripes. So it was just like thin pinstripes, you know, you got to look thin. And I was like, yo, this is what we're doing. And I want to be able to throw that on a bit more, that sort of aesthetic, without it feeling like, because I like burgundy a lot. That's one of my colors.
Okay, now I know. I'm going to write it down. So cool, when you come in. Yeah.
Yeah, that's sort of what it is. I call it the blood of my enemies. Look, we out here. you mentioned bougie, mine is Afro-American smoke. So your clothes also, your fashion also has, is obviously it's a mix of you know African like iconography and techniques and sensibilities, but also global influence. How do you kind of weave both of those together? Because sometimes the cultures can be very congruent at times, and other times it's like, yo, these go together maybe in this way. So how do you kind of marry the two, like, ideologies?
How do I marry it? It's more like, I believe that my taste is heavy in some of the things that I create. It's like, I see myself wearing this and I think they go together, so it's gonna go together. And then I love to also push boundaries. I'm like, people have not seen print done in this way. I'm going to do it just because, you know, maybe they don't know that it will go together. So let me show them that it does go together. So like when I mix like a shiny futuristic fabric and I put it with like adire, traditional adire, and I'm like, okay, yes, see, it goes together. So it's like, so that like that is like the it's like my the way I want it to be, the way I would like to see it done. That's how, like that, like that's just it. Like it doesn't feel like something difficult for me to do. It's just something that this is how I see it, this is how I think it will work, and I've not seen it out there before. So let me put it out there and see, you know, let's show people that it can be done. That's mostly it. Yeah.
The science thing is in that though. You know, here's my hypothesis.
Okay. Nice.
That's what I'm thinking. Like when you're saying like, I believe that these things go together, you may not see it, but this is my hypothesis. These go together. Now I'm going to show you that they go together. Here's a trial.
Testing. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah. Yes. See, I make these connections sometimes. I may have read a book once.
Yeah. You got it.
So here's the last one. And this is maybe a little peek behind the curtain. So what's something like super recently, we're recording this like in February, 2024, what is something that you've seen recently that has sparked some interest, some creativity? It doesn't necessarily have to be something in fashion, but something that you're like, hey, I see this flower, I see this, you know, building, or you see something that you're like, I'm curious about that shape. How would that look maybe in this format? How it's something that has caught your eye that may show up in your work in the future.
Recently, I started thinking of umbrellas.
Sure.
Like, you know, the way they shape out. And I was like thinking that, you know, I was just thinking of the shape of umbrellas, you know, the way they're like tiny, like small rectangles or small cones. Is it cone or coney shape? Something like that. And then they're all put together, and then they have like this skirt. Like an umbrella is like a skirt. Like when I think about it, it's like if I wear it like this, like a skirt, and then there are these iron things that make it stand, the way it's standing. So if I make it as a skirt and I do put the iron things like the umbrella, it's going to look like an umbrella skirt. So so that's something that just recently came to my mind that I'm playing with. And then recently I've been looking at trees. The way the branches go, like what is making them stand, you know, how they can stand on like on a fabric or on a person, like the branches like coming out like this. How would that look? I don't know yet, but that has been interesting to me. And what else? It's just those funny things that I just look at and I just see. It's like, okay, how would this be like if I made it into fabric or if I made it into dress? And then another one, the beautiful one, the most beautiful one is this clay pattern, like the way people use clay, like to mold and what's it called? Polymer clay. The way they use polymer clay to like make vases and make wall art. And I'm like, I think I can interpret that with fabrics, like with pleats and tucks and all of that. And that's something that I really, really, really want to explore. Yeah.
So we can look forward to umbrella references, trees, and like, that's what's coming for.
Yeah. So yeah, she's going for that. And then this year we're doing blazers. We're redefining the power suits. That's what we're doing this year. We're redefining power suits. So like all these concepts, I'm going to put it into the power suit. So watch out for that. Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it comes from different places, and being able to see sort of, you know, the art of noticing, the art of observation, so the things that are around you. It's like, I feel like a dress can mirror like a parasol, an umbrella, what have you. Yeah, it's great. It's great.
Yeah.
All right, we got it. We got the main stuff. Now, here's the rapid fire portion.
I'm ready.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right. So I'll give you the same rundown I give everyone. Okay. You don't want to overthink these. These are sort of quick, answers or what have you. And that's it. You know, like what you said is what you said. That's kind of what it is.
Okay.
All right. So here's the first one. Tell us about in 2 to 3 words, you know, Yele. Well, 2 to 3 words. What is it? Give it to us. Like fashion, bougie. Like what?
African, authentic, luxury.
All right. That's number one. Number one down. Okay, you're doing well so far. Yeah. Now, I noticed it early. We made a few references, and I listened to you. So what's your favorite superhero movie?
Spider-Man.
All right. But, okay, follow-up question.
Okay.
Tom Holland or Toby or Andrew... Which one?
Definitely Tom, the young boy, star young boy. And then I love the Miles. I like Miles, but I don't know who Miles is, but I just like Miles in the animation version of... In fact, that's actually my favorite one, the animation this Into the Spider-Verse. That's my favorite.
Because, I mean, you know, I'm just saying, like, pretty tight. Is there a textile material that you really want to work with that you have not, like that either it's not available, that it's not cost prohibitive, or it's cost prohibitive, or whatever reason it might be, but you really want to work with that you haven't worked with yet? Like, say steel or something. I want to work with metal. Like, whoa, chainmail. Like, you put on armor.
Let me see. Chains.
Okay.
Yeah, chains. Like, I would like to work with, like, chains. Like, you know, the connecting chains thing. Yeah, that would be interesting.
I think it would be very interesting.
Yeah.
All right, this is the last one. This is sort of the, you know, and I'll preface this. Some people, like, give you the very refined and crystal answer. I want something that, I like weird answers. Like, this, okay. The rapid fire portion of the pod is for folks to be fun, you know, so... Mm-hmm. What is something you could never get enough of?
My husband.
It's a great answer. It's a great answer. He's listening to this. He's like, hell yeah. Damn right, you can't get enough of me.
Yeah. I'm going to record this particular part and send it to him. I'll be like, see, I told you, I love you. This is right here, proof.
we're recording this a day after Valentine's Day, by the way, which makes it even funnier.
Mind blown. That's it.
That is great. And that's pretty much it for the pod. So one, there's two things I want to do. One, I want to thank you for coming on and spending some time with me.
Thank you for having me. Thank you absolutely. Very much. I appreciate
and you. And two, absolutely. And two, we got to do shameless plugs. So I want to give you the space and opportunities to tell folks where they can check you out, your work, social media, website, all that good stuff. The floor is yours.
Thank you all very much for watching so far. I appreciate you. My name is Yele. And you can find me on all social media platforms, YELESTITCHES.com. Yele Stitches. And the Stitches has an extra T. Please don't forget that. Don't block our blessings. So Yele Stitches on all social media platforms. My website is YELESTITCHES.com. And if you want to reach out to me through email, you can reach out to me at YELE@YELESTITCHES.com. That's it. If you just know Yele Stitches, that's it. Type it anywhere. You find me. That's it.
And there you have it, folks. I want to again thank Abasola Oladiende for coming onto the podcast and sharing a bit of her journey with us and telling us more about Yele. Yele Stitches, Yele, Yele, Yele. And I'm Rob Lee, saying that there's art, culture, and community in and around your neck of the woods. You've just got to look for it.